and we're ready for our recorder. Welcome, sir.
Good morning.
Are you doing all right this morning?
We're doing all right, I think. How about yourself?
Well, I'm glad you're all smiling.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes about copy fees and the Recorder Association copy fee work thing that I did up for them, and mention to you the fact that there was a lawsuit that went on for 8 or 9 years in Webster County about the records should be free, all the public records. And the Recorder Association won that lawsuit recently, but it's out on appeal. And now I'm sure we're trying to position ourselves where they don't enact legislation to reduce copy fees. And copy fees and what they mean to us, if you're a walk-in person up at the office, you pay $1 a page. The statute calls for $2. I can charge as much as $2 for the first page and $1 for each additional page. Most all recorders charge $1 a page. The title companies come under a bulk sale kind of an agreement. Of course, I don't have any contract with them because if you have a contract, you know, you have to live up to your contract.
Right.
My contract's very simple. You pay or you don't get them.
Pretty simple.
Pretty simple. On a bulk fee, the title companies get paid 25 cents if they come into my office to get a copy. They pay $250 per month for a copy of our images of all of our recorded documents. Up until June, it was $350, and on the back sheet there it tells you back in 2002 when I took office, it was $450. So we've kind of, because things are so tight, we've reduced the $350. I did that from $350 to $250. And I'll go for the reason for a minute. So 7 years ago when I took office, we didn't have a website. Now we have a website. We have credit card system, Tapestry, online, Laredo, things like that. For a subscription to Laredo, which is records from 1983 to present, it's $1,200 a year or $100 a month. The county's getting none of that. That's our provider.
Okay.
And we did that, basically, I did that because when I enacted it, nobody would pay for it. No one would. They said, we're not ever going to subscribe to that because who in the world would ever pay $100 a month to see the public record? And I said, well, I'll reduce your monthly fee from $450 to $350. And you get online and you can see the documents and indexes and all that. So it went over fairly well. We've had as many as 96 subscribers. We're down to about 60-some right now. So that means that our provider is making a considerable amount of money. But I would be the last one to tell you I haven't used that to beat them over the head a couple of times, like, you're making $9,600 a month off me, and I think I need this done, and don't you think you can do it? And they're pretty easy to work with that way. The actual copy fees, CD fees, last year was $40,076. Plat copies, which they didn't address in the survey, was an additional $5,305. All copy fees go to general county revenue. Tapestry, which is our credit card system, which in the first quarter when they first enacted Tapestry, that's $5.99 to do a search and 50 cents a page to do a copy. We get half of that. The county gets half of that. In our first quarter, we got a whole $44. In January, it was $600.
It was our cut? It was our share?
Wow. So, the computer systems that we've spent considerable amount of money on are now starting to generate revenue, considerable amount of revenue. And what I wanted to tell you was the copy fees, although they seem insignificant, or you would think they would be insignificant, you're talking about $60,000-$70,000 right now. So if somebody in the legislature or someone says, what do you think about copy fees? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be free, but I'm saying that there needs to be some kind of a charge.
Is there legislation right now?
Not right now.
Not yet.
But
you've heard there's discussions. Okay.
There's discussions. So I figure that when the downturn on the economy turns around, we will probably, even if we on Laredo charged $25 a month with 62 subscribers, you're talking a significant amount of money that would go into GCR. Mm-hmm. And we're all basically on the same page with this, because even though I've got stations, remote stations in the collector's office, the assessor's office, planning and zoning, if someone comes in and gets a copy, they charge them a dollar because it's my equipment. It's the recorder's equipment, not mine. And that is reported to general county revenue also. So there's more than just myself. So I've written some other things here, and I've emailed this to you, my response to them and why, what we're doing at the present time. Last year on Tapestry was $5,381.44. Plats were over $5,000. Totals were, that comes up to over $50,000. And these companies that have been buying the records for all these years, I estimate on the back page, they've spent with the county, four title companies, will spend in excess of $125,000. So all of a sudden, if you give all the records to everybody for free, you're diminishing the amount of money that they have invested in their title plans. That's all I have, unless you have some questions.
Questions?
We don't get to talk to Bob very often. He runs the department so clean and efficiently. I mean, we see him in the hallway, and that's about it.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate the way you do your job, Bob, and I have a question about something that comes to us that's maybe not directly related to this, but when we have tax a transfer of property and the taxes are prorated to the new owner,
mm-hmm.
how do we adjust or get the word to escrow companies and to title companies to do they all participate in sending you a revised copy of or do they all make that practice?
They all prorate the taxes.
Okay.
And the taxes are supposed to be paid to the new buyer, and it gets a little tricky.
We run up again this in other sessions, and like BOE and things like that, where we have someone come in and say that they didn't receive a tax statement, when we know that whenever they bought the property, if they bought it in April or May or something like that, they
had lots of time.
The previous owner pays the taxes up to that point, and then their taxes show on documentation, doesn't
right.
it? I mean, all of them that I've dealt with, and of course, use your previous company, you know, to do work,
yeah.
And it always showed up that way. I didn't know whether there's some way that the recorders across the state, or if someone could kind of get a handle on this to where it wasn't a good excuse for them to say that, you know, our tax bill was more than what we thought, or we didn't receive a tax bill, or actually whenever they pay that transfer for the title, I mean, that should give them some idea that I think the total amount is on there and the proration's on there and everything.
And their closing statement has that all on it.
Their closing statement has all that. And we run into it quite often in our sessions. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered is there something that we need to approach our legislative body about, or is there something we need to get in touch with our local county companies to try to help, if it wasn't anything but just a notice? They've got this 7-Eleven tax bill out that cost the county thousands and thousands of dollars to send out an estimated tax. Mm-hmm. But if when a piece of property changed hands, if there was just an off-colored sheet, a yellow sheet or something like that, that says taxes on this property was such and such, your prorated amount is listed in the... It would give us more of an argument to those people that come in and say, you know, I never received a statement. I don't know what my taxes are. Or, I sold this in 70, right. 2007. Or, you know what? You guys know where I'm headed with this. I mean, with what I'm trying to say is there some way that the state organization could maybe push for legislation that we would see? And another thing, when the taxes are changed, like on these condos and stuff, mm-hmm. whenever if the tax goes up and it's paid for through a payment plan, and the bank raises their taxes and they say they don't know about it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I don't know what the solution to the problem is. I'm just looking mm-hmm. to try to figure out what we might be able to do to... because it could get to be a very important situation with, just as Bob said there, one of the statements he made about different counties being down, you know, in the 20 percentile. We seen that at our commissioners meeting, mm-hmm. and those dollars that we, every dollar that we can collect that is ours, justly due, is money that is needed for operation of the county. So I don't know exactly what I'm asking for, but is it something that we could send all of our local Taney County, that those transactions could take place somewhere else, I guess, couldn't they?
Well,
it'd have to be a state legislative amendment, wouldn't it?
It'd have to be something at state level, yeah.
I think one of the things that's going to help you out a lot on that is that as we've roared along here for several years at just doing everything we can, the tax of James doing what he can do, and those name changes from a person that owns property from the time of sales to the time that the taxes were changed, there was as much as a 6-month lag. If I bought a piece of property today, it may not get transferred into my name for 6 months. Now, what we've done to alleviate that is, IS department wrote a program. We no longer use the Kelly Trimble program. Mm-hmm. The Kelly Trimble program was where I give a CD disc to James's office every time I make one, probably once a week, and they go through them. Or they're going through them as I give them, they're backed up. Well, now, when a deed is filed, there's been instances where I've been called within 20 minutes of the time it's filed and told, you know, the assessment office has called me and told me there's an error in my legal description. And I'm going, how did you know there was a legal How'd they know that? Well, they're not using my CD anymore. Right. They're actually real time taking the new buyers and switching the tax numbers. Right. So the biggest problem then you get into 1st of October when the tax bills come out, because the tax bills come out in October, and if you buy something used to at the end of September, you're not going to get a tax bill. So part of the alleviation of the problem is real-time transfers of property. And I think Taney County and James is right on top of that, because they they access my records. Sometimes they call me up and say, hey, this one doesn't have an image. And, we scan within 20 minutes of it being recorded, and they're working at looking at who the transfers are in between that time. And we say, you're going to have to back off a little bit, because it's not, we're not getting it in any faster when we get it in. We record it, we've scanned it in 20 minutes, and they're looking at it before we can get it scanned in.
Yeah.
And they're transferring. And that is a big plus, and that's just been in the last 3 months. Now, the other thing is telling the closing companies, they prorate the taxes. But I think that almost at every closing I've been to, and I've been to a few, they tell them now, we prorated your taxes, and you need to pay the taxes when they're due. And if the tax comes to the seller, you need to get that to the buyer. Everybody has a responsibility to pay their taxes. I know if I bought this piece of property and it's the 1st of January, I don't get a tax bill, I should be up here asking James for a tax bill. But, you know, yeah, you can. I think the title companies, they want to get the proration right. There's a big concern because they get nabbed on it, or if they don't collect the taxes that are due, they have to pay them. That's part of the insurance. So that's a liability.
So that's the title insurance part of it.
Right. And when they go back and say, you know, I didn't get a tax statement, I didn't pay my taxes this year, and they're more than I thought they were, I'm sure they've been told at closing to pay the taxes.
I was just looking for, I didn't know whether, you know, there might be something that the Recorders Association or somebody might be able to help us out there in that situation to where we didn't run up against it in BOE. And you know, I'm sure James explains it over the telephone a thousand times more than what we do. So, anyway, I didn't mean to get in that long discussion. I just thought that that's the first opportunity I'd get to talk to you about it. So,
no problem.
Well, thank you for the report. Appreciate the information.
We need to keep our
fees is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And when things improve, I think we need to definitely look at our charges. And,
right.
And even though I reduced the charge from $350 to $250, I told them at the time, you know, times are tough. We realize that. We'll make the money up on the credit card system.
Right.
But when things turn around, you have to understand that the fees are probably going to have to increase.
Okay, go. Thank you, Bob. Yes,
Bob.
Thank you,
sir. Appreciate you.
Road and bridge. How about some easements for a road?
Easement here for Carlton Road. Maybe a copy. There may be a survey in there.
So is this the part going back to Carl Tinker?
Yes, this is the part that crosses Mr. Schock's property back to Mr. Tinker's property.
And I went back and reviewed the original petition, and they did sign the original petition thinking that that's where the road was going to end.
Right.
And the description of the other easements actually had it ending right there where Mr. Schock's property begins. Let's see if I can find you an aerial here.
Randy, is this a this classification on this particular part of it, is that a 6 or what is this on
it's
this?
It's basically a 6.
Basically.
Well, it's going to be either one or the other.
Okay. We basically treat it as a 6, is that what you're saying?
The original description ended at this point, and this description takes it out to here.
Okay.
Now, why it ended here originally, I'm not real sure, but Dan Radiman wrote the description from where the county ended across these properties to this point here. And these two residents were understanding when they petitioned it, they would come.
So we don't maintain this, right? That's not part of it.
Actually, that's a private drive, and this is a private drive down to here.
Right. Okay.
So what we'll be maintaining is from this point to this point. About 7/10 total on the original review is about 6/10, so we just added a 10.
Okay.
So is this easement something we need to take a vote to take this easement in?
Yes.
Okay. No cost. Is there a cost associated with this easement?
This one is actually going to be a minimal cost because the homeowner is actually pretty well done most of the work. They ditched that section of road and also they've also added
we're not buying
culvert,
the easement,
so
though.
We're not buying the easement.
Okay,
no.
That's what I meant to say. We're not buying the easement.
I'll move that we accept this easement from Bruce and Mary Ellen Schock.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. So are we thinking, planning any work on it right away or
we're currently working on the first section of road, as weather permits. Right now, it's pretty muddy and
pretty
soft.
Spongy out there, isn't it?
This is a controversial issue where they said we were pulling off or something, and
that's when one of the homeowners out there called me and told me that they were told that we were pulling off the project because we didn't have any money.
Right.
So,
well,
since then, it's been corrected
and all that. And
I know you've talked to your people, and I've talked to the homeowners. So.
This particular section of road we're talking about today requires very little work. Yep. Most of it was done by the property owners. I think the only improvement we need to do is work on a turnaround.
We need to construct a turnaround, which is going to be pretty easy. It's open, one tree to remove, some minor brush trimming on some limbs, and maybe adding a loader to a base to the current roadway. So it's pretty decent shape.
Right. That's what, and I know, you know, we haven't took a vote on it or discussed this, but that's basically my look at road and bridge, road, taking in of roads at this point for this year until we see where we're at financially is taking roads in like this that are number 6. It'll be graded. Brush trimmed, minimal cost, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 maximum, you know, for years worth of maintenance, or even most of the time even less than that. You run a grader up and down it, but you're going to have places where you're going to have some tree trimming and things like that to keep knocking your mirrors and things like that off. But I think maybe we had set 3 different positions on as commissioners on what we think we want to do on road and bridge, and that soon will be in discussion, I guess. But
mm-hmm. Next week, I think.
Okay.
We got some more for you. You gonna talk to us some more?
We have a 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock executive today.
10 o'clock.
Yeah, we're after 10. So, before we go into executive, could I ask a question or two?
Sure.
Road and bridge.
Yeah, come.
Pardon me.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have a microphone over there.
Please, yes. Signed, ready to go. Thank you, Randy. In our. In the earlier part of our meeting, if I understood Mr. Shantz right, Danny or Jim One called and asked that his road be plowed. Did I understand that right? Was that you or?
When he called me, let me get this straight so that you know where we're at. He called me and said that he thought he was having a heart attack and that he'd been out sweeping or shoveling, he said shoveling or sweeping the road. I then called Frank, and Frank and I had a little discussion about it. We didn't know quite what position that put us in. And so Frank called him and told him that we would have somebody there within 15 minutes. Am I right?
Actually, Frank then called me. He didn't do anything. Frank right. then called me and said, Bob Shantz thinks he's having a heart attack. He's calling an ambulance. And I said, okay, if he's calling an ambulance and we can't get it down there, go ahead and send. I'm fine with sending a truck down there. Because at that point, you already said that Danny said send if he's somewhere an ambulance got involved because said Danny said as long as an ambulance
he said an ambulance can't get here is what he said
right
to
and then so when you called me I said if Danny's fine with it and there's an ambulance coming go ahead and do it so that's the events
and
when was that.
Oh,
two storms ago the big storm that we had.
I didn't call you, Mr. Penny?
I don't think so. I don't remember it. No, I'm sure you wouldn't if there was an ambulance called. I would have agreed that if an ambulance has been called and we need to send a truck out, we need to send a truck
out. And then that was the big storm we had, whatever day that was. The one we had 9 inches of snow, or the one that we've got, that one. Now, I did talk to Mr. Shantz last week when we had snow. Schools closed Monday and Tuesday of last week when... he had called me said, I'm having a heart attack. I said, Bob, as soon as you call that ambulance, they know to call us, and we will make sure we're out there right in front of that ambulance. Basically, because he had told me that...
That's basically a conversation I had with him.
I was trying to make it clear that you're going to have to call an ambulance this time, because you didn't call one last time, and you said you were.
Yeah.
Oh, so he didn't call
He ended up not calling an ambulance.
He told you he was going to, but he didn't call.
Correct.
He'll tell you that every snowstorm.
And so that's why I said, you make sure you call the ambulance. They know to contact us, and we'll be out there in front of that ambulance getting to your house.
Right.
He said, well, I'm having a stroke. I don't have 30 minutes. I said, but if you're having a heart attack, 30 minutes may be just fine. So.
Well, the whole thing of it is it put us in a strange position because I had him call Road and Bridge. Then I got to thinking about it. You know, if he calls Road and Bridge and he gets a recording and he is having a heart attack. So that's whenever Frank, I guess, there was contact, as much contact as we could get.
That's what he said. But yeah, ultimately, an ambulance was not called and he told us he did call an ambulance.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah. So...
And he did call last week and requested his road to be plowed again.
And that's what I'm talking about. And that's when I talked to Mr. Shantz. And I said, you call an ambulance, and we'll make sure that when they call us, we're in front of that ambulance getting there.
And that's when he got upset with, you can't come plow my road, but you can work on the east-west corridor.
That's right. Then he said some other nice things that were not too edifying to me. And
But he likes the way you dress.
He likes the way because I wear a tie. I mean, that is. I told him, I'll see you next week, won't I? He said, why? I said, well, aren't you coming? He said, yeah, I'll be here next week. I said, perfect. So.
Okay. But he told you guys he called an ambulance and he didn't call an ambulance.
Right.
Okay.
He told you, you told him, and you told me, because that was the first question, did he call an ambulance?
Yeah. Okay. So. All right. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Before we go into executive session, I've got concern about we've got a matching grant on Boy Scout Road, which is a hoorah, but we don't have the money to do that in the budget. I'm correct there, aren't I? And is this an in-kind thing that we're expecting?
We haven't had a work session. I was going to wait until the Thursday work session to talk about that specific, because
usually everything counts, but maybe they just cash on this one. We don't know without
inquiry. That's where we're at on that one.
No.
Okay.
And you got to determine whether you know this is something that you would do anyway, or you know maybe it's not worth taking the $250,000 if it's not something you'd do anyway. You just have to make that decision,
right?
I guess.
And we right. That was one of those discussions that I want to make sure we bring up. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the same thing. I don't know enough details about our maintenance history of that road, all those things.
So what we're saying is we need to take a look at this to see how many times it's flooded and whether it's worth us doing the match on it, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, for me, I mean, from my understanding, I want to know what we've spent maintaining that road because of flooding and how often does it flood and all those. Yeah, there's some questions.
You guys did a major project on that road here within the last 3 years for the buses.
Oh, yeah, and well done and well needed, and it's the right thing to do, I believe. Okay. So it was $250,000, is that right?
That's the grant. Yes.
And it's 50% deal, so we've got
$250 come up.
Okay. Thank you.
So I guess what we'll do is, and just since you brought that up, I now have a funeral I'm going to on Thursday, so I won't be going to Thursday meeting. So we can reschedule it for Friday, which is pretty wacky. We have a pretty full Friday anyway. Or we can put it on for Monday, or you guys can meet without me. Whatever you want to do.
We have an odd deal with 3:15 and
for when
Friday.
Don't
we have a 10?
Well,
then we have
3:15.
1:15, you get a tour of Ozark Beach, right?
That's last week.
Yeah, this past.
Okay, so we've got legislative affairs meeting, which is 8:30 to basically 10. Then we have a CID discussion, which is at 10 to 11.
Okay, I know I was on a bus tour last week.
Let me interrupt. I don't see that we have anything until 1 o'clock, really, except for the authorization on the executive director for economic development.
That's today.
And so we've got some time now is where I'm going.
Oh,
if you want to talk about some things, we're posted road and bridge before we go into executive. We could
sure, some of those things. One. Yeah,
there's some of those things you'd like to work on.
We could.
I mean, you don't have to cancel Thursday for Mike. I mean, you guys can still meet.
Right. Doesn't matter to me. I know we've put you off once or twice. And
there's nothing of significance. A few questions. I mean, we could probably whip these out in 10 or 15 minutes.
Go ahead. That's right. We have some time right here. And
okay. We'll do this then before we go into executive.
I'll see.
That's fine with me.
All right.
KDOC update. I gave you the field or the desk notes from the conversation. So that's already been taken care of. We had a truck that was totaled that we've asked to salvage. That's been taken care of. We've already used about $3,000 worth of parts on that. I think I told you before, it had a rebuilt transmission. It has what's called, termed as a rock bed on it. And we have some other trucks where their beds are in need of some repair and or replacement. So that, I think that was a wise decision. In preparing our general roads discussion, I'm in the midst of updating the mileage that we maintain, updating the costs of the various types of surfaces, and just preliminarily, the numbers will be different than numbers that you've heard before. The it's obviously different to maintain a gravel road than it is a hot mix road, so the numbers are significantly different than the average $6,500 to $7,000 number that you've heard in the past. I'll have those updated, that updated information for you when we meet to talk about those roads. The Coon Creek and BB Edge stabilization, Danny, I have not forgot that request. I do see what you're talking about there. And we're just waiting for the weather to accommodate us in stabilizing that roadside edge.
Over on the BB side?
On the BB side.
Can you elaborate a little bit?
It's real bad now.
Where they built up?
Where they made the turn and made the turn lane. They put the red clay mixture, which is what we usually use, but I think it's going to have a roller and some either 0 to 4 or something in there and go on out about 3 feet, because it's when you come off the pavement, you're on dirt, you're on clay mud.
Okay.
And it has sunk in now. I was over by there yesterday just to look, and somebody had cut the corner with a trailer, surely, because they didn't cut it with a car.
Out.
But it was over in, it was 3 foot off of the road there.
Okay. So our intentions are to remove the first 6 or 8 inches or so and then put some material that we can compact and stabilize.
Right, something to stabilize
but
it.
The weather's not cooperating with that
right.
particular.
Okay. It might go right straight in now without without removing too much if you had it on there and didn't have it rolled in, because it's soupy. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it there's a 6-inch rut there.
Okay.
A couple things in regards to the mechanics flats, mechanic shop, the and general questions that I have. The heater, the $5,750 purchase, came out of our road and bridge building and grounds funds, and I questioned that expenditure, and maybe it's an agreement that before my time here, but that did come, $5,750 did come out of road and bridge, out of a $10,000 line item that we had allotted for the year.
Okay, what category was road and bridge?
Capital.
It was capital, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But it really, in my estimation, in my understanding, that building, the majority of the work that's done there is done to sheriff vehicles. So
okay.
You're thinking half of it should come out, at least half of it should come out of a sheriff's budget.
We're basically, which you're saying is road bridge capital improvement versus GCR capital improvement.
Yes.
Okay, so you're wanting to say shift half of it or more.
Or more. Which my second question, the problem is we had it was a $10,000 line item, of which was the East Shop break room improvement with the office improvements. We were well under budget until that number hit the ledger, and now we're right at budget, but yet to be complete with the office improvements at that building. Also, reviewing budgetary items last week, it came to my attention that Road and Bridge pays 100% of Mr. Landry's salary at that facility. Sheriff's, he does do some work for us. They keep detailed records on all of the work that they do for all of the county, whether it be sheriff and or Road and Bridge. So my hope is that we would look at the percentage of work that he's actually doing for Road and Bridge and create a percentage not only for the heater but also for his salary that would add some relief to Road and Bridge budget. Based on the actual use of that facility.
His other use other than the sheriff's department is assessors, the all the other equipment, vehicles, I guess, from wherever they may, planning and zoning, everywhere, isn't it? Isn't that right?
That's my, yes.
Yes.
I mean, I'm fine with a percent.
How much road and bridges you do?
Well, I don't know the answer to that.
I could find that answer, but it's minimal.
20%, 25%?
Something to that effect.
So you'd like to see, I'm putting words in your mouth, would you like to see 25% of his salary and heater you're fine with? 75% you think we should reevaluate where those are charged against?
If you're in agreement with the concept, I'd like to review their records and come up with an accurate percentage.
I mean, why don't we save the time and just say 25-75 and just, or 80-20 and save the time?
That works for me.
Unless, I mean, I don't care to have an accurate detail.
I'm just trying to think of where it comes from. Do they run the, no, it's not the tractors, it's not the, do they do any work other than vehicles?
They do tire repair, like on backhoes, I think.
Once in a while.
At least the front ones and things like that.
Do we?
Well, the two mechanics, you mentioned Landry, what about Robert?
GCR.
He's GCR?
Okay.
So we're basically at 50% right now because of the two personnel. But, I mean, I'm fine with going 75-25. You guys want to shift another 25% over to GCR and then pick up 75% of the heater because it is a capital improvement for, I mean, are we good with that or not good with that?
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I didn't quite ever, I mean, didn't quite understand how that all
so
worked. It's kind of like having the two bridge accounts.
Can I send an email to Rick saying that three commissioners, I'll make sure we carbon that we're fine with splitting Landry's salary 75-25 and then the capital improvement of the heater? Is that 75-25. What
you're
75-25. We're good.
I'm questioning, since we're paying Robert 100% mm-hmm. out of GCR, and then, so.
You're a good point. I know where you're going here. How much is Robert's time to spend on road and bridge?
Well, they did. I don't think they separated. They just, well, they work together.
They both.
It doesn't matter what vehicle. They're both working on both. My concern is if we're 50-50, paying one employee and one employee this way, and we continue to pay this one employee 100% out of GCR,
mm-hmm.
and we take the second employee and pay him 75% out of,
right.
then nearly the whole operation is coming out of GCR. And I'm fine with that if that's what we've got.
That sounds like that's what we're doing. I mean, it sounds like the work...
I would think that it'd be closer. I'm kind of agreeing with Chuck, probably that 50% of Landry's salary.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, and maybe we...
And the total on the capital, I mean, or the...
If it's not a big time to figure it out closer from their records, we might ought to figure it out closer.
That's fine.
They'd keep detailed records. I could come up with that number, but I'm glad that we're discussing.
I'm definitely in favor of,
So how much do you pay Landry's right now? How much do you pay 100% of Landry's? Right?
Yes.
Okay. So we're just, it's the 50-50 deal is what we've been doing.
75, really, so.
And if we're not doing 50-50, if Road and Bridge is only getting a fourth or something, then we ought to.
Right. It's most definitely not 50-50 right now.
We really spend that much time on sheriff's vehicles and other vehicles that belong to the county that aren't Road and Bridge?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sheriff does a lot.
They've got
two or three sheriff's vehicles in there all the time.
I guess. I mean, that's my understanding.
Well, they're parked out front there for you to see whenever you drive by. I mean, there's just shifting.
So what instructions are we agreeing to, or what are we instructing to do then?
I'd like to suggest we go ahead and let Frank have him look at
a little investigation on it.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be exact, in my opinion.
Okay.
And we'll come back and talk about the heater and
wages both?
Sure.
Yep. All right.
I've got something for you, Frank, whenever you get a chance, when you're done with your list.
Okay. Mike Burdine, Blue Ridge, calls me once a week, once every 2 weeks, most definitely. In the past few weeks, he's been getting argumentative, and are we on the air?
Yes, we're outside and everything.
I've been personally threatened with being sent to jail because of how he interprets the statutes. The road does have approximately a 22% grade.
Well, if we're going to get into legal matters, I want to go into executive session.
Okay.
So with that statement, what are you saying, Frank?
With that statement, I'm saying that he calls on a regular basis and it's been getting aggressive and obnoxious. And I look forward, I guess we're scheduling a meeting next week to discuss
Monday at 2 o'clock is what this came through at.
Okay.
That will take care of that.
Yes. I had a recent meeting with Mel. This is in regards to the slope at the judicial facility. I'm going to try to move ahead with construction of the Shorty Cooper Road, regardless of the state of repair and or finish of the rest of the slope.
Correct. Don't you think he needs to get the road done first? You get it open, and then we can figure out how much we're landscaping. It's too early for us to landscape anyway. I wouldn't want to get started when you're still tearing up parts of it.
So let me be sure I heard that right. We're asking Road and Bridge as soon as they can to start on the road construction. Weather permitting and all that kind of thing.
I agree.
Okay.
There are some concrete drain pipes that are broken. The hill needs to be completely dressed up, but that may not happen or occur until the contractor, the sewer project, is phasing it as he phases the rest of his project. So.
Right.
Suggestion, before you start working, take some pictures.
Okay.
Both sides, the way it lays, you know.
Curb and gutter layout first, is that what it does? Or does it have curb and gutter?
It does have curb and gutter. We're at about 80% of subgrade shape and form and fill. Once that reaches 100%, then we'll do curb and gutter. And I'm considering going out to contract for the curb and gutter. That's pretty detailed and intense grade to keep grade. Not to say anything negative about our concrete crew, but I'm considering going out to contract for that curb and gutter job, unless you have other concerns.
Well, on the slope and everything that you've got there, I think that might not be a bad idea. I mean,
it's a couple of a switchback, and
right.
There's not a straight line in it. The fuel tests on the equipment that was possibly vandalized at the yard 3 weeks or a month ago now came back inconclusive. In the past week, as of last week, including information I received this morning, we've had 4 pieces of equipment vandalized. It's common for a Caterpillar to have a cat key on it. A cat key is a very general key that a lot of people have. Our locks have been removed. We've had fuel stolen from the loader that's parked at the quarry. Supposedly happened this past weekend. And we had windshield broken on a grader that was parked somewhere near Strawberry and Forsyth, Taneyville Road. That equipment was moved up in front of Remington's and has subsequently had fuel stolen even in front of Remington's, and that happened all this past weekend. We have made adjustments in where we park our equipment. And are locking it, and I would like to take some added security measures
and speaking with the sheriff that I've been working with to see if we can.
You said we've had 4 acts of vandalism, and that was all this week, last weekend?
1 was last week and 3 were this weekend.
You're talking about vandalism or theft?
Both.
Both. Broken window, inside of a vehicle, gobs and gobs of mud and debris were spread throughout the vehicle.
So they not only stole the gas out of it, they also did some damage to the vehicle that they stole the gas out of?
Separate vehicles.
Different vehicles. Different. Okay.
Well, yes, I would say go talk to the sheriff and see how we can add some measures of protection, but I would, you may want to just meet with the sheriff and make sure it's a top-down versus an individual. I don't know who you're planning to visit with.
I have one detective that's assigned to me.
I go to the sheriff because, I mean, that we're going to make sure that it's, I think it's a countywide, I'm not saying anything against the deputy, whoever that is, but let's make sure Sheriff Jimmy knows what's going on.
I've had some concern for some time and brought it before the commission back, the first year I was here. We leave graders setting in locations for long periods of time that I think should be brought to the shop. I know that one grader on the that's going pro tem on the railroad intersection there across the road. I don't know who owns that, but at one time that grader sat there for 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't being, we didn't have anything going on at that particular site. But I think with everything going on, that equipment should be brought to the shop. I know it's a long ways to transport it. Either that or have it put in a location that we have a contract with somebody that's...
We're in a spot next to a house where it's being watched.
Yes, with a light. I mean, with a overhead light or, I mean, a security light or something. We think about distance, but one cat engine or one tire on one of those big pieces of equipment, grader tire or something like that, pays for a lot of trips back to the shop. And I'm really concerned with some of the attitude this week, phone calls and smart messages concerning the layoffs and things like that it's out of hand. It's got to be put to a stop to some way. So I would like to try to see if you can't figure out a plan. Maybe have Harlan and them help you with that, because I'm talking mainly on the east because it's such a vast area to put those in a place where we feel like they're secure. I mean, they can mess us up bad. And
I'm not sure I'm clear what you're asking, Danny.
I'm asking to move that, not leave those pulled to the side of the road or left in a corner lot or something like that. Graders, rollers, other pieces of equipment that I've seen setting in certain locations. I can name one spot, for example, Venice on the Lake. As you turn, I don't know what the name of that road is, as you're going to Rockaway Beach and that
sundown.
Little look. Sundown right there. There's always a piece of equipment, seems like, every time you go by there, sitting in that location. It needs to be somewhere else. I would rather move that equipment, take the time for 30 minutes to get to a job and 30 minutes to get back, as to leave that equipment sitting there. And if it's too far over, then have it contract with someone that's got a light, pull it to in front of the visitor center if you're out on 165. or 65 in there, or someplace in that. I'm just saying, making some arrangements that might save us thousands and thousands of dollars. I've had stuff vandalized myself, and I know it just gets into big bucks fast, and you never feel secure with it.
Gene and Harlan and myself spoke this morning about 8:30 in regards to exactly what we're talking about, and that is several weeks ago we said let's pull it in tighter, and talked about parking it in a lit area. This morning it was discussed, pull the equipment in, no more long-term storage out in the
area. I think it's just a good idea, and I think it looks better. The public doesn't get an idea that it's sitting there for some period of time.
My concern is partly why I asked the question, what to clarify, Danny, was we talked about this numerous times, and Frank needs to have a good understanding of what direction of what we want done. Do we want it? It's all right to set one night, or it's not all right for it to set one night, and I know that might be a pretty difficult thing, but we need to give good direction. Mm. What we're wanting, and I'm not sure. We've already talked about it, I see, so that's a good thing, but what is it we expect out of it?
I'm hoping that we can find some people throughout the county and the rural areas that would allow us to park it on their private property in an area that's lit at night.
Inside a gate or something, you know, that's...
But then there's my other concern with that is that there's... can be a perception by the traveling public that doesn't know about that agreement that there's improper things going on because so-and-so has a backhoe park at their next to their garage.
Yeah.
And that could bring, I mean, we all may be in the loop and understand what's going on, but there could be a public perception issue that...
Well, is there really a reason for anything but short-term storage? I mean, if you're doing a three-day job, you're going to obviously not want to bring it in if you're going to just do it for 3 days. And people who are not with the road and bridge aren't necessarily going to notice it on the first night.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you're going to keep it there a month or two, I mean, you're obviously not working for a month or two there, are you? And if you are, who cares about the perception? I mean, you need to make the equipment safe. And
right. I just wanted to make that mention that the perception could be... something improper.
Mm. I think basically that's, you need to talk to Harlan, Eugene, and find out where they think secure places are. I mean, that they feel secure that it's there. With what I've heard this weekend, I think we're lucky that more hadn't happened.
I'm trying to make sure I understand something. Someone broke a windshield on one of the vehicles that smeared mud and debris inside the vehicle?
Yes.
Okay.
And right next to it was a shiny, relatively newer piece of equipment that wasn't vandalized at all. The operator of that vehicle that was vandalized feels it was almost a personal vendetta against him.
Probably was. And the vehicle that was not damaged was... maybe somebody that the vandal liked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you've given all this information to the deputy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be it for today. I'm ready for executive.
Well, I mean, we were sent an email from an old employee that no longer is in your office stating he needed 2 more weeks to finish some duties.
Yes.
And I wanted to remind you, I've sent an email just a few minutes ago basically stating that he was requesting 2 weeks to finish up two areas that he said he was working on. One was the FEMA 1822 disaster additional work submittal, and I want to make sure that that's been done. If it's not, please make it a priority, because he was saying that that needed to get finished.
Melissa and I have been in contact on that, and I think in accordance to our last conversation, that's being dealt with.
Okay. The next thing he said in here also was he needed to finish the enter of all the survey data from the road inspections into Cartograph. that the data was, the database was not in sufficient shape for me to import the data, and he has been working to make the correction to the database. He said he needed 2 weeks to complete that work and all the inspection work that he had done to that point. If not, then the inspection rating of the payments would be for nothing. And, I don't know if that seemed like, if we paid him a salary to do the inspections and we somewhat value what he's done, let's make sure we don't lose that data that he's done, the collection.
The data's there. It's not formatted and put into the proper...
Correct.
It's just... And I'm not sure, I've talked to the gentleman several times, I'm not sure that because of the way it's formatted now that myself or Randy have that ability to do that. I'm still working on...
Okay, I just wanted to remind you, it was a reminder that...
So we need to okay this time, right? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying, Frank, make sure you get these things done. I'm not saying hire anybody to do it, I'm just saying... we just don't forget about it. Keep it on your list of getting this done and completed, especially the supplemental. It sounded like we were going to get money reimbursed if we did the supplemental additional work documentation. So I was just reminding you of the email he sent to all of us.
So. I'd like a couple of minute recess, unless you guys want to.
Okay.
That's fine.
Before we do it one day.
2 minute recess, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You good?